let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it. Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody before we're through. So take my hand and spin me in and hang me in emotions, man. I'll tell you where I think we stand. Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
That's Joe DeRosa.
That's Kurt Braunohler. You're always said it correctly.
Yeah, I really like
Braunohler.
It. Braunohler. It's Braunohler. We're going in the right direction.
I want you to know, when I go,
a lot of people give you shit online. They know you're fucking with me.
Well, they can't give you shit because you're giving everybody shit with your Braunohler last name.
Oh boy.
I want you to know this though. When I say, "Hey Siri, call Kurt Braunohler," I say it like that. It goes, "Calling Kurt Braunohler."
Would you, your Siri has a British accent?
I use the man one, so when I yell at it, I don't feel abusive.
Guys, this is the podcast about adult friendships, getting vulnerable, talking about feelings.
So on the count of three, one, two, three.
Let's get soft. First and foremost, I have been... you forget, when we're talking here, it feels very personal. Yeah. It feels very between you and I.
Yes.
Obviously, there are microphones. But sometimes, you know, I think in an ideal emotional hangs, you forget that the microphones are there every once in a while. But then you don't forget the microphones are there when for weeks on end now I've been getting emails telling me why people don't send me questions. Because they're just listening to the episode now, not realizing it was a few weeks ago. And here I just want to say to everybody out there, keep sending me your questions, but I am no longer need you to explain to me why you think I'm unapproachable. I would like that to stop. I no longer need messages telling me the multitude of reasons you find me unapproachable. But the other people have also, I've also gotten a lot of messages, and I appreciate every single one telling me that I am approachable. I'm more approachable than you, and they like me more than you, and they just don't feel the need, this fucking need, this neediness right. to like reach out to me because they think he's doing fine.
Right.
All right.
That's cool.
So,
well, I got an actually nice, I'm sure he reached out to you too.
Oh, okay. What? Who?
Because it wasn't about a question or anything, uh-huh. It was just a nice thing. Very nice gentleman who runs DFA Records.
Yeah, I know DFA.
In Brooklyn, reached out to me.
I know DFA Records. I like DFA Records.
Big fan of the podcast, big fan of...
That's very cool.
Yeah, and was like, "Hey, dude, I love what you guys do. Can I send you a box of free records?"
What?
A lot of LCD sound system and all kinds of stuff. Did you get that message?
No. I did not get that message.
You didn't get the message. I'm not going to say his name, so you can't get mad at him.
If it wasn't a label that I actually like and enjoy their music,
it's a great label.
It's a great label.
It's an awesome label. And I mean, and you're
fuck this guy, but fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. Why would he send you a message and not me?
That. This is my new friend.
Oh, yeah, it's your new friend because you're getting fucking records.
You know what? You're Mr. I'm on Kill Rock Stars, and Kathleen Hanna thinks I'm hilarious. I didn't say they called me to put a record out. I said they called me to send me some free records. But there's something about you that people don't like.
Also, I think maybe there's an idea, too, that's like just based on the fact that of what I look like that I don't know good music.
You do know good music.
I do know good music. That's why I'm on Kill Rock Stars. It was my favorite record label growing up.
How did you, you know, because I'm very, jealous is the wrong word. I'm not jealous. I think it's awesome that you're on a rock label. I want to put a record out with a rock label. In fact, I emailed this gentleman and said, "Do you guys ever think about doing comedy records? Just out of curiosity, because I think it's cool that Sub Pop and Kill Rock Stars are doing it."
The way I did it was 6-7 years ago, and I tweeted something stupid and Kill Rock Stars retweeted it, and then I like responded to them like, if my 16-year-old self knew this happened, he'd be very jealous after I explained what Twitter was or something like that. And then we just started, like, not even DMing, just, like, chatting. And then I was like, hey, do you guys ever want to put a comedy record out?
So it's very similar.
On Twitter, like, just a reply.
Right.
And they're like, yes. And then that afternoon, I spoke with Portia Sabine, who owns Kill Rock Stars. And she's like, yeah, let's do it. We were just talking about that. We'd love for you to be the first comedian. And then I, like, agreed to it that afternoon. It was, like, perfectly punk rock deal, where it was, like, just, like, done over a phone call.
And you need to take shots at my buddy over at DFA for sending me
a box of records.
A box of records.
Here's the shots. He knows. He knows I'm sensitive about this.
How does he know? He doesn't know you. He don't know you.
He's a fan of the podcast.
He don't know you.
He's a fan of the podcast. Maybe he's heard.
But he's also
that I have a chip on my shoulder.
He's also a fan of my stand-up. Maybe he doesn't like your stand-up.
Oh, fucking hell.
I left that part out of the email. He's also a fan of my first podcast. He likes me more. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm dying here.
Cool
I'm
shit
dying.
Like this never happens to me.
I'll give it to you.
I'm never the cool kid at the party. I never get asked. I always have to email the booker of the hip show in town and say, hey, could I do your show? And they're always like, oh, yeah. I thought you were like a meathead. Sorry we haven't had you on yet. You know what I mean? I'm always the guy that's like, hey, guys, like, I actually know stuff.
You know what? Exactly. I'm so happy for you that this guy reached out, all right? But that does not require me to not think that guy's an asshole.
Stop it! You're gonna ruin my chance right now.
What? I say fuck that guy.
Don't say fuck that guy.
I say fuck that guy.
He's never gonna send you anything now.
Fuck that guy.
He's never gonna send you anything.
He wasn't gonna send me anything anyway. Apparently he doesn't like my fucking comedy.
Banned
from DFA shows.
LCD sound system shows, at the very least.
Here's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say I'm happy that Death From Above, the band, removed the 1969 from the end of their name. And yeah, you could go sue them.
They should be sued for the atrocity that is that new record they just put out.
Oh, is it no good?
It's terrible. They want, it's like anything
else. I heard one song off that I really liked it.
You heard the single, which is, I literally, the first time I heard it on Apple Music, I went, you gotta be fucking kidding me, and skipped it. And then tried
it. It did sound really poppy.
Yeah,
it sounded really poppy.
They've lost the whole, halfway through the.
You know what, I'm thinking back on it, listening to it, being like kind of surprised by it. I was also, because I was confusing it in my mind with the new Wolf Parade single, which is excellent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it yet. But the Death From Above went, like, I always thought Royal Blood was, like, the weaker attempt at trying to be Death From Above. And then Death From Above now is trying to sound like Royal Blood. And it's got, like, all this synthiness to it. It's like,
do you really like the first Death From Above album?
The first album is excellent. The second album, halfway through, you hear them change from a great band into we're trying to be poppier.
But have you listened to Sebastian Granger's solo album?
No.
I almost think that album is better. It's not better than the first Death From Above album. It's fucking amazing. It's excellent.
All right.
Really, really good.
I'll check that out.
It's got
out.
This one song on it, I Hate My Friends. That's like, it's perfect. It should be the theme for this show.
And to the DFA crew, I hope you do sue the band Death From Above, and I hope you win, because you guys are aces in my book.
Here's the deal. In this imaginary lawsuit, I'm on the band side, all right? You made an enemy here today, DFA guy, all right? An enemy, and I never fucking forget,
Jesus,
all right?
Thank God
I'm holding
didn't say
a grudge.
His name. Christ almighty.
I'm holding a grudge. Like, that's the saddest part is, like, I don't hold a grudge at all. I'll forget that I said all of this tomorrow.
Well, this is like when I attacked Nick Offerman.
Exactly.
In the vagina hat scenario.
Exactly. It very, really, really is.
He never caught wind of that, but this guy will probably catch wind of this.
Well, apparently not, because maybe he doesn't listen to the podcast. He's blown smoke up your ass. He just likes your stand-up.
All I care about is I'm getting free records. Maybe
We'll see when they come.
Maybe one day. It's already in the mail, man. Went out today,
right.
he told me.
Oh, yeah, right. We'll see. Tell me what records you got.
He's surprising me. He's putting in a few new bands that aren't as well known. He's throwing in some LCD sound system. Made a very funny joke. He goes, you're a man in his 30s with good taste and glasses. I'm sure by law you already own a few LCD sound system vinyls.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, it is. And I said, I actually only own the CDs. I don't want to, can you please send me the vinyls before I get fined? So, you know.
Well, I'm happy that you're having a fucking great little relationship
with
him. I am.
I got another funny thing.
That's great.
My friend Brian, also is based in Brooklyn, called me the other day. He's a very close friend. And he called me the other day. He's who I stay with usually when I go to New York. But he called me the other day and he goes, really early. It's like 7:30 a.m. our time or something. And he leaves me this voicemail, and he's like, you know, I know I'm calling you early, but, you know, it's just a funny thing. You know, I turned on Sirius XM today, and, you know, just kind of jumping around the dial, and I accidentally stumbled upon the Joe DeRosa, Mike Tully, Best Friend Hour. And he's like, I don't know who this Kurt prick is. But, oh, excuse me. You know, Joe, I can like some of the neat bands out there, too, you know. Just berating me. It was very funny. It was very, very funny.
Well, he didn't even know you had a fucking podcast.
I don't think he does.
Wow. I guess he's not really that great of a friend.
Well, listen, he's a good friend, but who gives a shit? You know, I don't care about anything anymore. I'm in a real mood today.
Oh, yeah, you're in a mood? I'm in a mood.
Why? Because you didn't get records? Is that why you're in a bad mood?
No. This is because tomorrow is my mom's birthday.
Ooh.
For those of you who don't know, my mom died last July. So this is her second birthday without her. So yeah, I've just been in a... I don't know if I've been in a bad mood. It's more reflective. And I didn't realize it until yesterday, 9/11. It was 9/11 that made me realize that 9/13 was coming up, which was my mom's birthday.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, it just makes you a little... And, you know, at this point, it's been a year and a few months. Last year, I think, last September was very difficult. Because it was like, it was just a few months after she, you know, died. But now it's been a long period of time. And... yeah, it's like, I think the main thing is like that I forgot. I forgot that it was happening. You know, I forgot like that it was her. Like it sneaks up on you. And people say that, you know, when somebody you love dies, they're like those like significant dates you kind of forget. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy shit. And it just kind of hits
sure,
you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
So that would not be, the birthday would not be the one of those for me with the parents.
No.
Christmas would be the hardest hitting.
Right. Yeah.
Even if they died like as far away as humanly possible from Christmas.
Yeah.
That's where I feel with all my past family members. Christmas can be I love Christmas and it's very celebratory still for me and my friends and my family. But I got to tell you, Christmas, the event on actual Christmas Day is pretty depressing to me because it's just been, the family has been so shaved down at this point. It used to be this 30-person event, and now it's like 10 of us. And it's depressing.
Yeah.
You know, and not that I get down, but it just sucks. You're like, this sucks, man.
Yeah.
Like, awesome people aren't here.
No, I mean, like, you do realize at a certain point in your life, the only way Christmas is nice again is if you're around children.
Yeah, but I'm not going to have any, I don't think.
Yeah, so. I mean, just, I'm talking about go find some. You know, just watch them. Looking through the window.
Go
you know, find a family.
Maybe I'll go hang out at an orphanage.
Like. Yeah.
And put on a, what I'd like to do is go to an orphanage and put on a clown mask and a Santa suit. and jump through a window and see how they react.
It's a surprise. What? It's a surprise.
Yeah. I try to combine two things you kids would like.
Very upsetting.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I, you know, my niece Ava's, what is she, six now? She's adorable. She's lovely. And my nephew Dylan is, he's old now. He's like 18. So it's great seeing him. It's just cool in a different way now.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool that I can, like, talk to him about, like, life shit. You know, like, what are you doing? You're dating? What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, we can have, like, real talks.
Yeah.
Like, which is pretty great.
I think the main thing that, for me, like, what tomorrow is going to be like is that it's kind of surprising it's like you, it's even if you're not like broken up, like even if I'm not like crying about it, the fact that I don't like that it doesn't feel like significant, it feels so much less significant just 1 year later.
Yeah.
That is like she's really slipping away, you know? And I think that's kind of difficult. Like when I think about that, that kind of is tough, that it's like, oh, it's just going to become like each year she's going to be like, I'm going to remember her less and less, and she's going to be further away from me. You know, that's the thing that I worry about and get, you know, scared about, I guess.
Well, that's interesting, because I never would have guessed that in a million years. I would have thought that, you know, I always, I've not lost a parent. But I've always been grateful that with each year there's a little less pain and a little less immediacy to the loss and everything. So, you know, I always saw that as a bonus. Like, okay, it doesn't hurt quite as much.
Mm-hmm. But when it stops hurting, that's the thing. It's like it's not a guilt. I don't feel a guilt, but I feel like an absence, you know?
Sure.
Like before, it was just like all love and you're there, and then it was like just pain, so it was like still there. She was still there, but it was just a painful memory. And now it's just becoming like a little numb, you know?
I don't think you'll ever not feel pain about it. I don't think that ever...
It just becomes such a fact, you know? It just becomes such a fact that you can like just talk about.
Well, that's moving on in a certain way. But I don't think you're ever I don't think you're ever going to get to a point in your life where you're callously just like, yeah, what are you going to do, man? You know, like I think you're always going to be you're always going to feel hurt. But it's the difference between a crippling hurt and a I can get through the day hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and it and the frequency of that. My mom's parents died. Her dad died in the 80s. Early or mid 80s, and her mom died in the 60s. So it's like she still cries about it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, she's just not, obviously, it's not the first year anymore. She can live her life and she can talk about them and everything and have good memories or bad memories or whatever. But like, you know, it still upsets her.
Yeah.
It's like my Uncle John was the closest thing to me outside of my parents and my Aunt Sammy, and they both died. And, yeah, man, I think about that. It was just years at this point, 6 years for my Uncle John, and I think 3 years for my Aunt Sammy. And it's like, that was brutal, dude. Like, your aunt and uncle who are married, who are like your second parents,
yeah,
died, you know, that close together. It sucks. But, you know, man, I'm never going to not miss them. I'm never going to not be sad when I think about them. But, yeah, like, at the same time, I'm not, like, going to be doubled over bawling uncontrollably like,
yeah,
I was at the funeral, you know? I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's just it's like, you know, it's just a new level of a relationship with it, you know?
Yeah.
That it just feels a little, it feels more distant. Oh, also, we're in my office today recording, and so it's a garage. So you're gonna hear birds and shit, and these mics are not as good as Joe's.
And this chair is creaking quite a bit, which, yeah, I like. It gives it a character.
Yeah, you know where we are. We're not just voices for you. We're bodied humans.
This is actually a pretty big day for the podcast because this is the first time we have ever recorded outside of my living room or the studio.
Yeah.
Those are our home bases. But I was running around doing errands today, and I called Kurt and said, let's just bang one out. And I was in a real piss mood, so like I was
real
like,
shit mood. I've been listening to Joe fucking bitch all day,
yeah,
long.
So I was like, let's try to capture it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's, yeah, try to capture it.
Yeah.
And now that's been ruined by Kurt beautifully talking about the sentiment of a loved mother who has passed and how he wants to hang on to emotions and the memories in the most beautiful way possible.
And then, but I'm, yeah, but
be like, LA annoys me.
But you got your records, you know. I just want to say to the DFA guy, it would have been nice tomorrow on my mom's birthday, you know, 2 years after she's died, to come home to find a box of records from some of my favorite bands. That it would have, I'm just saying, it would have lifted my spirits a little bit for what's otherwise going to be a pretty dark day. And it's just too bad that I wouldn't be able to do that and share that with a label such as DFA.
Right, right.
It's too bad.
Well, that label, I believe, has a no moms rule.
No dead moms. No, you're allowed to have moms.
No moms. It's a hip label. Get out of here, moms and dads. This is for the kids.
This is for the kids' music.
Yeah, dude, I'm hitting a real... look, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving away or anything. I realize the reasons I live in L.A. I realize the reasons I stay in L.A. And I realize the benefits I've had from being in L.A., but... Whew, I'll tell you, dude, I have hit a fucking breaking point with the people out here.
Yeah?
Absolute fucking breaking point.
I feel like you'd hit the breaking point if you lived in heaven. If you lived in the most perfect place where it's just like waterfalls of whiskey and you floated around on a lazy boy made of clouds and it was just, there was a plant that gave you a blowjob every day, you'd still find something to fucking bitch about.
That's so weird that you just said that, because years and years ago when I used to open up for Patton Oswalt, he was like, you need to do a web series where it's just you being given something great and you just talk about why you hate it so much.
It's actually not a bad idea.
It's not. And I never did it, but it was a good idea.
No, I mean, but, like, if you're actually in heaven, do you know what I mean? Like, you're in the most perfect place and all you can do is bitch about it.
Well, this
it.
Is what we talked about. We were talking about a TV idea about a guy that lives in a perfect utopian future.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is at his disposal, but he's a writer, and then when he writes, it's about like mundane 2018 like traffic and everything, because that's his fantasy. But Patton went on stage one night when I was opening for him, and he was playing Caroline's. That's how fucking long ago this was.
Wow.
And he was like fucking Joe, man. You could be like, Joe, this is a bowl of ice cream that gives you a blowjob. And he'll be like, God damn it.
I agree. I agree.
No, but so you make a fair point. Yeah. I am an irritable guy, but Jesus Christ, dude. The way the people drive out here is driving me fucking nuts. People just sitting with their heads up their asses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a point where it's all good is bad.
I've never liked It's All Good.
You know, so...
It's All Good is the dumbest thing someone can say. It's not all good. It's, if anything, it's mostly terrible.
Yeah.
And maybe this interaction was fine.
Yeah, so it's like, this is what bothers me, is like the city of Los Angeles, the average person in the city of Los Angeles, they fancy themselves as calm or laid back or accepting or open mind. That's all bullshit. That's not what it is. What it is they have the same exact demeanor as like a pothead burnout sound man in a rock club. Like, hey, hey, man, no worries, dude. We'll get there when we get there, man. And it's like, no, dude, worries. You're fucking high right now. We have a goddamn show to do and you're fucking it up. So can you get your shit together, please? Why are you stressing, man? Because you're a fuck up. That's why I'm stressing.
I like that you just wound yourself up about a hypothetical man you made up.
I made up that analogy years ago in my head for people like this, and I'm realizing in full that I'm surrounded by them now.
Yeah.
And it makes me angry.
The thing that I can't stand, and I think it's exactly it's a symptom of what you're talking about, and I don't know why it bothers me so much, but specifically for when I'm going to get coffee... And it's a fucking... This thing in L.A., if you don't live here, I don't think you can fully understand the counterculture of, like at the coffee shop is bullshit chit-chat. And it's like, coffee, it's a drug. I'm waiting for my drug. We're all waiting for our drug in line. And you're fucking chit-chatting about your chinchilla? Like, go fuck yourself.
I know.
And just take the next order and move it along.
It drives me fucking nuts. It's why I go to Starbucks half the time. I'm like, yeah, they keep it fucking moving, man. And I actually like Starbucks coffee. I think a lot of the coffee in the coffee shops in L.A. is extremely bitter and like almost sour tasting or something. Like it's. I don't care for the flavor, but that's another thing. But yeah, dude, I'm in a store today, and this is when I really started getting wound up. I was waiting for the store to I don't want to say what store it was because I like the store. But I was waiting for the store to provide me the service I needed. And there were people waiting and whatever. And this fucking knob,
oh my God.
Walks in.
The way
in.
You say it, it makes me so uncomfortable.
Why?
Because it's just like, it's dripping. I can feel it. I can see the hate dripping out of your mouth.
Yeah. I was furious. I wasn't able to not make, like, bodily noises when this was happening. People were, like, looking at me because I was like, I was doing shit like that.
Yeah.
This fucking knob comes in with two frozen yogurts, distracts one of the people behind the counter, the female, one of the people, this, the female person behind the counter. He goes, looks like you guys are busy. She's like, yeah, yeah. And he goes, so, it's your birthday tomorrow. And he leans in with two flavors of frozen fucking yogurt. And he's, it's like so obvious he's just trying to get laid. It's just like, dude, up your fucking game, you fucking dildo. God damn you. God damn your soul.
See, the thing is, you haven't told us what type of a place this is. So I just don't like...
It was a retail place.
Retail, like shoes, pants?
Sure.
Okay.
Shoes and pants.
So there's not a line. There's a line of people waiting to check out?
No, there's people waiting to be, you know, and the girl that he's taking the attention of was helping people in the line, was assisting the girl that was working on the line by helping her get shit done more quickly. Right? Mm-hmm. You follow me? And he pulls her away from that, starts with the sentence, his opening sentence, it looks like you guys are busy. Yeah, they are. Leans in, does this whole thing about, like, look how great I am. I brought you a frozen yogurt because tomorrow's your birthday. Which, and then proceeds to do this whole flirty thing for me. Which flavor would you like? It's your birthday. You pick. And it's a 5-minute fucking exchange. I wanted to take the yogurt and smash one in his eyes so he couldn't see, and then the other one in his dick to make his already tiny dick freeze. To an even smaller tiny dick, and then I wanted to kick it into pieces like a frozen, like liquid nitrogen was on it. It made me so fucking mad. So he could get laid. I'm sitting here like, yeah, and I know if I would have said something, he'd be like, bro, why so aggro? Calm down, bro. It's like, no, get the fuck out of
really
here.
Because really, it's just like, I'm going to do what I want to do right now.
It's like everybody in this fucking city acts like I did when I was 14 years old at my first job, and my boss would have to pull me aside and be like, hey, Joe, step it the fuck up. Like, stop talking to everybody. Stop distracting the other workers.
But that's
do
East
your fucking
Coast.
Job.
That's East Coast.
But it's everywhere except here. I've never been to another city that is so inefficient. Have you ever lived in a city that is inefficient? It's not inefficient in like the way like the islands are when you go, you know, you go to Bermuda and it's like, hey man, you order a drink, you're going to wait for it. That's the way of life down there, and they take their time because it's quality and all this. That's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
We're talking about this job could be done in half the time, but nobody gives a shit because everybody thinks this doesn't matter. I'm going to sell my fucking Pirates of the Caribbean prequel that I wrote next week. No, you're not. You're not going to sell your script.
I mean, I'll give it a read.
You're going to work at the retail store for the rest of your fucking life because you're going to approach your art the same way you approach your job. Like shit. Try taking a yogurt into Warner Brothers. I just brought you a yogurt because it's your birthday and I have my Tron 3 script.
And for all of you monsters out there who think this man is more approachable than me, you fucking lunatics.
Oh, that reminds me.
You fucking lunatics. This man is a raging hate machine.
I'm not a hate machine.
And you want to ask him questions.
First of all,
here's the answer to every question you ask Joe. That's the answer to every question. You should start every response to every fucking question someone asks you.
First of all, number one.
You just like, I expect you to have a heart attack someday.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
I will. That's why I drink and I smoke and whatever. Because I'm like, I'm going to just.
Because you want to, because,
I'm like, I'm just going to drop dead of a heart attack anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
I am a pretty hate machine, first of all.
Oh, not Nine Inch Nails reference?
No, I'm using it my own way.
Oh, okay.
I don't like that album. I'm not a raging hate machine. Also, I think we, so Kurt and I are going to have t-shirts available when we do this tour.
Yeah.
In November. So one of them is going to say, they're both going to say Emo Hangs on the back.
I don't think they're going to say Emo Hangs on the back, just okay. for printings.
Okay, then we're gonna have one of two to sell.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we should have one that says Suck My Woke Dick, which is great, and then we'll have another one that says Let's Get Soft.
Yep.
I pitch now, not for November, but for later. This mm-hmm. November thing's a test run. If these sell well, I think the next two shirts should be one that says
Approachable.
I'm an Approachable Joe. And another that says I'm a something Kurt. But we need a word for the Kurt one. Unapproachable Kurt isn't good enough.
No. We'll think about it.
I'm a hurtful Kurt. That's great. I'm a hurtful Kurt and I'm an approachable Joe.
I don't think it's a hurtful Kurt, but we'll figure it out.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
Should have a little bit of a rhyme to it, though. Yeah. It should. Oh-oh-chable, Joe, that makes it sound nice. Hurtful, Kurt, that makes it sound good.
I understand what rhymes are. Thank you, though, very much.
I'm a smirking Kurt. Because you're always smiling at something.
I was just smiling there, trying to think. I'll figure it out.
All right.
But here's the deal. You know what? I don't think I'm unapproachable. And I
Nobody
think.
Nobody said you were, except a bunch of listeners.
I don't think I am. I think those people who think I'm unapproachable, they came to the podcast through your stand up. They don't really know much about me. They maybe heard a few episodes. I feel like I am an approachable person. If anything, between the two of us, I think I'm more approachable. So I'm no longer going to take that on. Then this is the thing that I learned. I'm no longer going to take it on. Uh-huh. Because if the last time we talked, I was hurt. Like, I was hurt. I took it as, like, maybe there's something wrong with me.
Hurt Kurt. I'm a hurt Kurt. Yeah, there it is. There it is.
No, I'm not going to take that
I'm
on.
I'm a hurt Kurt.
I'm not making
That's
that t-shirt.
Such a great t-shirt.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's such a simple rhyme. It's too simple.
But it applies to the exact thing we're talking about. Approachable Joe
but
and
I'm
hurt
not,
Kurt.
I was hurt. And I'm no longer that. I'm saying that's your guy's
shit.
Right,
how about this? How about I'm an approachable Joe. I'm not a hurt Kurt.
It doesn't. I mean, like, it's just such so insidery. Like, I wouldn't buy that shirt.
You're nuts.
I wouldn't buy it.
If you love
my
the
name
band,
is Kurt, and I wouldn't buy. I'm not a hurt Kurt.
All right. Well, then we'll just do I'm an approachable Joe. That's a great shirt.
Great. We'll see. You know what? You know how we'll know if it's a great shirt? If people buy it. Like, it'll be perfect.
Folks,
we'll find out.
When you hear this episode, you write in to us. Let us know if you like these ideas.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. But also, again, I'm going to say this because I still feel like I want to get it out without this fucking t-shirt business involved with it.
Sure.
Is that, like, I'm not bothered.
Okay.
I'm not bothered. People can ask Joe as many questions as they want. I appreciate every question
sure.
that is sent to me, as you know, because I respond to each and every person. But mm-hmm. It doesn't bum me out.
Yeah, it sounds like it
does. I'm not going to take it on.
All right. That's cool. And listen, by the way, dude, if you want to come over and to listen to my free records, you can come over and do that. You can't borrow them or anything, but you can come over and listen to them.
Oh, you'll put them on. I'm not. I should. Hopefully you won't let me touch them either.
Nope.
You'll put them on.
I'll put them on.
Let me listen to one side. Yeah. Then you'll flip it.
Yep.
Okay, good. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm a nice guy. And you know why people approach me?
Tell me.
Because I'm the everyman. I'm the Larry David of this podcast. And I don't know why you can't accept that.
We'll find out.
You're the Richard Lewis of this podcast.
If anybody's a Richard Lewis, it's you.
No, I'm the Larry David. I'm lovably dejected.
You're lovably dejected? Larry David's never filled with hate.
Are you insane?
Well, yeah, he is.
Are you an insane man?
Yeah, he is.
I get more therapy out of watching that show than therapy. Boom. I'm like, it's okay. Somebody else, because I don't believe he's any different in real life.
No.
As much as he says he is, I'm like, no, it's okay. Somebody out there is like this. Okay, I feel good.
Yeah. Guys, thank you for listening to this episode of Emotional Hangs.
This, if I'm not mistaken, this drops just days before Scoops Fest.
Because it's next
Wednesday. So Scoops Fest is not next Wednesday. This comes out next Wednesday, which today is this current Wednesday for you.
We'll be in Vegas on September 23rd. We're going to do the podcast, I think, at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And then we're both going to do a stand-up show at 8 p.m.
Yes. And then we're going to hang in Vegas for the night.
Let's do it.
Vegas fun. We also have the tour coming up in late November. Dates for that are coming very soon. And I think that's it.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Winnipeg at Rumors October 26th to 29th. And I'll be at the Halifax Pop Explosion on October 19th. See you there, guys.
And read my new Penthouse column, You Let Me Down, every month. Feral Audio.